Here's a ground ball right side, could do it. The Houston Astros are world champions for the first time in franchise history.
Welcome to the program on the Houston Astros 2017. I'm Bill Brown, reading from the book Houston's Team, Houston's Title. We begin with Chapter 1, The Plan. The plan executed by General Manager Jeff Luhnow and his staff began with the sale of the franchise to Jim Crane's ownership group in late 2011 and the restructuring of the team. Coming close was not the plan, but a painful period of redevelopment was. It involved trading high-salaried veterans, obtaining young players who needed time to develop in the minor leagues, and being patient while that process played out. What followed was a period of two more consecutive 100-loss seasons after the one in 2011. The Astros moved from the National League to the American League in 2013 as a condition of the sale of the team, because Major League Baseball wanted to even the structure of the divisions at 15 teams in each league and 5 teams in each division. Many fans decided to withhold their support until the team improved. Attendance dipped well below 2 million from 2012 through 2014. After the 51-111 record in 2013, Luhnow changed his license plate to GM-111. Why? I wanted to feel that pain every time I got in my car, he said. Now he'll be switching to a license plate with GM-112 on it, reflecting the number of total wins in 2017. Despite the attendance loss and the team's swollen loss totals, the Astros stayed the course with their plan. They emphasized the draft and acquiring young talent to provide a timetable for competing for the World Series title as soon as possible. That did not include rushing the timetable. Jose Altuve, Dallas Keuchel, and Marwin Gonzalez were joined by George Springer, Carlos Correa, and Lance McCullers Jr. The team improved. In 2014, Sports Illustrated featured Springer on its cover and predicted that the Astros would win the 2017 World Series. The prediction and the article detailing the Astros' use of analytics and their methodical plan for development was ridiculed by some in the baseball industry. Ben Reiter authored the article. He was not required to undergo an MRI of the brain afterwards, but people were questioning his sanity. Critics pointed to the Astros' choice of pitcher Mark Appel from Stanford as the top overall choice in 2013. Appel was traded to Philadelphia and has not reached the major leagues. Chris Bryant of the Cubs was the second choice that year. They also target outfielder J.D. Martinez, who has been a strong power hitter with Detroit and Arizona since leaving Houston as a released player in 2014. They mention another first-round draft pick, Brady Aiken from 2014. The high school lefty pitcher from San Diego was not signed when his physical with Houston revealed some concerns about his elbow. However, the Astros received an extra draft choice in 2015 for being unable to sign Aiken, and they used it on infielder Alex Bregman. Aiken has never reached the major leagues. Bregman was a key postseason performer. The baseball world got a glimpse of the talent coming together in Houston when the Astros claimed a wild-card playoff spot in 2015 and made a strong run at the Kansas City Royals in the division series after shutting out the New York Yankees in the wild-card playoff game. They led KC by 4 runs in the 7th inning of Game 4, only to blow the lead and drop that game and the deciding Game 5 as well. The plan seemed to be ahead of schedule at that time, but the disappointing loss was an all-too-familiar refrain in the symphony of the team's existence. Advanced analytics include models of what the future might bring for each player and assign values to each player. But the 6 years of experience for the Houston front office have colored its view of the analysis. Former NASA engineer Sig Meidel is special assistant to the GM, process improvement. The future is a lot weirder than we imagine, he says. His comment could have been applied to the 2017 World Series. Now that we have seen the future, we have to agree. Former GM Tal Smith was at the forefront of the analytics movement in the 1970s. He refined the use of statistics in arbitration as well, when Tal Smith Enterprises represented clubs against players in arbitration cases. Years ago, we were the first ones with computerized scouting information, he said. If we were looking for a left-handed hitting outfielder with speed, we could quickly do a sort and provide that stuff. The one thing we didn't have at that time was formulas like every club does now. They're all doing pretty much the same work, except there are arbitrary determinations on how much weight you put on a certain stat. But that is arbitrary. They have far more analysts today than they do scouts. I think the analytical information is useful and helps explain why things happen. I'm not certain it's a predictor of what's to come. The game is played week to week and month to month. After going 84-78 in 2016, some key acquisitions addressed the team's shortcomings over the winter. Catcher Brian McCann arrived in a trade with the Yankees to replace free agent Jason Castro. Free agent Carlos Beltran accepted a one-year contract to join a team he hoped could fulfill his lengthy quest for a World Series winner. Josh Reddick signed a four-year deal as a free agent. Nori Aoki was claimed on waivers. Charlie Morton joined the rotation as a free agent. All of those moves were vital. 9 players were acquired through trade, 5 were signed as free agents, 2 joined the organization as amateur free agents, 6 were drafted, and 3 were claimed off waivers. The amateur free agents were Jose Altuve and Yulieski Gurriel. Dallas Keuchel was drafted in 2009, George Springer in 2011, Carlos Correa and Lance McCullers Jr. in 2012, Derek Fisher in 2014, and Alex Bregman in 2015. The Astros made a rare leap from striking out the 4th most times in Major League Baseball in 2016 to striking out the least in 2017. Personnel changes were responsible for a lot of the improvement. Castro was replaced by McCann, who had a much better ratio of walks to strikeouts. Carlos Gomez was released in 2016. Colby Rasmus moved on. Josh Reddick brought outfield skills and a hard-nosed style. He and Aoki had much better walk-to-strikeout numbers than Gomez and Rasmus. Luis Valbuena departed because Alex Bregman had become the everyday third baseman. Bregman was a much tougher out than Valbuena. Better contact hitting made the Astros a much-improved offensive team, in fact, the best in baseball. To add to the impact of each hit and each base runner, the team ran the bases like maniacs. We begin with the chronology of the season. Chapter 2, Spring Forward. When a long-awaited spring training began in 2017 for the Houston Astros, they started their journey at a far different place, both in geography and in competitiveness, than in the previous few years. Their new home, the ballpark of the Palm Beaches, was rushed through a construction period of only 18 months in order to open on time for the Astros and the Washington Nationals, and their talent was recognized. At the 7,500-seat facility in West Palm Beach, the players raved about their new surroundings. Their new home afforded them more luxuries and also made their preparations more efficient. The batting cages were spacious, and the minor league diamonds were all in view of General Manager Jeff Luhnow and his staff from an observation tower. Luhnow could look down on one of the top-ranked farm systems in the game. Whether it was young outfielder Kyle Tucker, pitchers Francis Martez, David Paulino, Forrest Whitley, outfielder Derek Fisher, or third baseman J.D. Davis, prospects were abundant. The ardent baseball fans who loved to check out the minor league prospects enjoyed their accessibility. The new complex in West Palm Beach allowed them to roam to the back diamonds where tomorrow's stars toil in relative anonymity. After all, 5 years ago, the fans who watched the developing players in Kissimmee had a head start on everybody else with the knowledge they gained. The Astros were 15-15 plus ties in spring training. Records have little significance in the spring. Every team is shooting for a healthy start to the season. The Astros had a healthy spring, with the exception of starting pitcher Colin McHugh. He was troubled by a dead arm over the winter months, and that put him behind schedule on his throwing program. He could not be included with the other starting pitchers and had to allow his arm to go through a strengthening program. That required time in Florida after the club broke camp for Houston. The Astros had 6 starters competing for 5 spots anyway, so the rotation was set. Dallas Keuchel, Lance McCullers, Charlie Morton, Joe Musgrove, and Mike Fiers were the 5 who would open the season in the rotation. The position players were set and prepared leaving Florida. There were no major problems in that area. Yuli Gurriel hit .344 to lead the club. A winter of working out in Florida seemed to have made a world of difference for him. Spring training numbers usually have little significance. What was far more meaningful than any statistic was the human process of bonding. Some call it chemistry, but there aren't chemicals at work in a baseball clubhouse. Well, there were, but now there is testing for performance-enhancing drugs. There are people from all backgrounds. Houston is the most diverse city in the U.S., according to several reports. The Houston Astros just happened to fit perfectly into the fabric of the city. Bringing all of those diverse players into one common effort begins in spring training. Chapter 3, Bursting Out of the Gate. Opening day in Houston, April 3rd, always a special event, brought a capacity crowd to Minute Maid Park. On a beautiful night with the roof open, excitement was in abundance. With Dallas Keuchel looking similar to his 2015 Cy Young form on opening day, the Astros blanked Seattle 3-0. The Astros grabbed sole possession of the top spot in the American League West April 14th and never relinquished it. They spent only 4 days all season outside of at least a share of first place. By the end of April, they were 16-9. Keuchel's 7 excellent April outings were a big part of their month. The starting rotation had excellent bullpen support. The relievers combined to strike out 100 in 80 innings. Marwin Gonzalez belted 5 home runs. It got even better in May. The Astros moved to the top of major league clubs with a 22-7 month. They reeled off an 11-game winning streak through June 5th, taking them to 42-16. They blasted home runs in 19 straight games, on their way to a 13.5-game lead in their division June 29th. They led the majors in almost every major category. Their May 29th 11-run 8th-inning comeback over Minnesota at Target Field overcame a 6-run deficit. It was the first time in club history the Astros won a game by at least 6 runs after trailing by at least 6 runs. Before that game, they were 0-921 when they trailed by at least 6 runs in the 8th inning or later. The Astros led the majors in avoiding strikeouts. It's not about being anti-strikeouts as much as it's about being a more potent offense, added manager A.J. Hinch. He continued, "It all starts with zone control and pitch recognition. It's not going up there avoiding a strikeout. It's going up there and getting a good pitch and staying within the strike zone to do that." After their historic start, the barrage of comparisons to dominant teams in recent years projected the Astros as a lock to win their division. But they still had 2/3 of the season remaining. If they wanted to rest on their laurels, they had plenty of them on their resume, but that was not the way they were conducting themselves. The wear and tear on the bullpen began to surface in early June in Kansas City. After the Astros blew a 7-1 lead to lose 9-7 and end their 11-game winning streak, Dallas Keuchel was scratched from his start the next night when the pinched nerve returned. Losing the ace of the staff was concerning to some, not in the near term, but when it mattered most at the end of the season. The speculation over the winter that GM Jeff Luhnow would trade prospects for a frontline starting pitcher died down. The Astros went into Memorial Day with a 10-game lead over Texas and Los Angeles. It was the earliest date in club history for a 10-game lead in their division. That lead stretched to 14 games after June 5th, the biggest divisional lead for the Astros in their history. Through the first week in June, the Astros' 7, 8, and 9 hitters combined for an 841 OPS, on-base plus slugging percentage, which was better than the major league average for 3-4-5-6 hitters. Yankees manager Joe Girardi said, "Their offense is relentless." "The bottom of the lineup was the difference in the club," said hitting coach Dave Hudgens. Pitching injuries continued to mount in early June. Then another blow came June 12th. When McCullers was placed on the disabled list with a lower back ailment. That same day, Musgrove came back from his injury. The rotation had only one experienced starter at this time, Mike Fiers. In June, 13 Astros games were started by rookies. For the third straight day in June, a fresh arm was promoted from AAA Fresno to reinforce the relief corps. This time, the call-up was top pitching prospect Francis Martez, who struggled at AAA Fresno. With Keuchel returning to the DL and McCullers joining him, 3 of the 5 pitchers in the 2017 rotation to start the season were all sidelined. Hinch said of the injuries, "It is what it is. I know everybody wants the frustrating quote, or the woe is me, or the sky is falling. The reality is we've got a really good team, and we're going to have to absorb this or else." Rather than overreact quickly when the team lost 8 of 12, the Astros plugged in Brad Peacock, David Paulino, Diane Diaz, and Francis Martez when they needed a starter. They went 3-6 on a homestand, but still had the best record in the majors. Through their first 71 games, their pitching staff led the majors in strikeouts and opponent batting average while leading the American League in earned run average. After the season, pitching coach Brent Strom added some perspective. "I think everybody picked each other up. Every reliever had to pick up the other guy," he recalled. "We were asked to throw too many innings in the middle of the season. The injury thing was tough. We lost Will Harris for 6 weeks. We were dealing. I thought Musgrove did what he could as a rookie. Devenski in the first half reminded me of Harris in the first half of 2016 when he made the All-Star team. The offense had a great fit in carrying us when we needed it." Returning from a 6-1 road trip June 24th, the Astros were 29-9 on the road to open the season. They continued their pace in the road uniforms, growing to 33-11 by the All-Star break. They went on to set a franchise record with 53 wins on the road. Their 53-28 road mark, a .654 winning percentage, beat their previous mark in 2001 by 49 percentage points and tied Cleveland for the best road record in the majors. The offense hummed along with the best batting average in the American League through the All-Star break, .289. After finishing 2016 with a .247 average, the Astros displayed that they were a much more effective team after the off-season changes. The combination of players who walked more, struck out less, and forced the opposing pitchers to throw many more pitches than in the past gave the Houston hitters many more opportunities to get opposing starting pitchers out of the game. After losing to them in June, Kansas City's Ian Kennedy said, "That lineup doesn't really give you a break top to bottom. So once you get behind 2-0, you'd almost rather face the next hitter." Nonetheless, the Astros led the American League in earned run average by starting pitchers July 5th. When they performed, they did very well, but not going deep into games caused a heavy load of innings on the bullpen. After 89 games, the starting pitchers had worked 492 innings. The bullpen checked in with 308. That was to have an effect later in the year. Their lead grew to 16.5 games before the All-Star break. The Astros led the majors at the All-Star break in runs per game, 5.9, batting average, home runs, and slugging percentage. Their run differential of plus 162 was one of the five largest in history. The Astros started August 3-10, the worst record in the majors during that stretch. The pitching staff, overtaxed by injuries and baseball's cruelest month for days off, cratered with a 4.83 ERA. As if August were not challenging enough, Hurricane Harvey rocked the Gulf Coast in late August and affected the lives of many in the Houston area. The Astros were in Anaheim watching the devastation to the Gulf Coast of Texas while they tried to stay in touch with their families. "When we were in Anaheim, Harvey hit," said Julia Morales. "We had taken off really late after playing the Nats. We knew the storm was coming. The first day in Anaheim, it was on the Weather Channel, and day after day it started to get more serious. People weren't sleeping at night, and it started to get more serious. I saw the fear in their faces, and I saw them after games. Whether they were checking their phones during the game or running up and down the tunnel, it was very hard. There was anger. There was some fear. Springer's neighbors were flooded, and he couldn't find out about his own place. Morton's wife and kids were all stranded. They couldn't get anywhere. When it finally calmed down, saying it was for the city, they really were sincere. They were feeling it. Tough times bring people together, as we learned again. Out of common concern, the team shared stories and tried to block out the troublesome times when taking the field. The Astros were displaced, playing 3 games in St. Petersburg, Florida, instead of at Minute Maid Park. When they returned home, the players helped in the relief efforts before returning to the field. They were a different team when they landed in Houston. The players rolled up their sleeves and plunged into the community as time allowed. People needed help everywhere. Homes had several feet of water inside, and the players did what they could. It was heartbreaking. Houston went through the tax day flood in 2016, and it was also a devastating event, creating many of the same problems. The situation even worsened when the torrents of rain stopped falling when some dams released water to flood targeted areas intentionally in order to preserve the dams and prevent even more flooding. When you live in Houston, the threat of hurricanes every few years is part of the package. Those who lived there in 2008 had vivid memories of Ike. Now we move to the postseason, Chapter 4, Postseason Prowess. In the first game of the American League Division Series, Jose Altuve belted three home runs as Justin Verlander beat Chris Sale 8-2. In Game 2, another crowd of more than 43,000 at Minute Maid Park was fired up and wearing orange. Dallas Keuchel held Boston at bay and led the Astros to another 8-2 victory. The series shifted to Boston for the third game. The Astros grabbed a 3-0 lead in the first, with Carlos Correa lofting a home run to center field off Doug Fister for two runs, but the Red Sox stormed back against starter Brad Peacock in the bullpen for a 10-3 win to stay alive in the best-of-five series. The fourth game began with a gloomy forecast. It proceeded through the rain. Justin Verlander emerged from the bullpen for his first career relief appearance in the fifth inning with the Astros ahead 2-1. He was the first reliever used in the game by A.J. Hinch. He had never pitched in relief, even in Little League, and on a muddy mound he gave up a home run, but the Astros regrouped to win the game and win the series 3-1. Moving to the ALCS now, in Chapter 5. The matchup was the Astros versus the Yankees. In Game 1 at Minute Maid Park, Dallas Keuchel was the winner against Masahiro Tanaka. It was a nail-biter, and Houston won it 2-1. In Game 2, there was another epic 2-1 Houston win because it came on a walk-off double by Carlos Correa, scoring Jose Altuve. Correa also homered to right field in the game. They went to New York. The Yankees struck back with an 8-1 win in Game 3 in New York behind C.C. Sabathia. And then in Game 4, they roared from behind, trailing 4-0 and getting a crushing comeback win over the Astros to win it 6-4. That squared the series at 2 games each. The Yankees swept their 3 home games to take a 3-2 lead in the series, shutting out the Astros 5-0 in Game 5 behind Masahiro Tanaka again. But Justin Verlander did not disappoint, leading the Astros to a 7-1 Game 6 triumph that forced a 7th game as he was brilliant again. And another beauty came in Game 7. Charlie Morton took the mound against C.C. Sabathia. The Astros led 1-0 after 5 behind Morton. Then Lance McCullers took over. He got a 4-inning save, and the Astros won this one as well in a thriller to take the series 4-3. Moving to the World Series, the Astros met the Dodgers. The temperature at game time in Los Angeles was 103 degrees for Game 1. Clayton Kershaw struck out 11 in 7 innings on his way to a 3-1 win. Now, the Astros were up against the very powerful Dodgers, who had won 104 games in the regular season. Game 2 was a classic. Those who saw it placed it among the best World Series games they had ever seen. The Dodgers led 3-1. Dodger closer Kenley Jansen was called in earlier than usual, leading in the 8th inning by 2, with 1 on and no outs. Carlos Correa tightened the Dodgers' lead to 3-2 with an RBI single after a double by Alex Bregman off the tip of a diving Yasiel Puig's glove. Then in the 9th, leading 3-2, Jansen went out for the save, holding a record 12 saves and 12 opportunities in the postseason. That's a record for a reliever at the start of his career. A slumping Marwin Gonzalez, hitting 150 in his last 12 games, came to the plate.
Gonzalez hits one in the air in a left center field. Back at the wall and is gone! Tie game in the 9th, Marwin Gonzalez.
The game tied 3-3, headed to the 10th with former Astro Josh Fields emerging from the Dodger bullpen as manager Dave Roberts' 7th pitcher. And the Astros had more in store for Fields.
3-3, 10th inning, Altuve in the left center field, back at the wall, it is gone! Jose Altuve has put Houston on top, 4-3 here in the 10th.
Fields had to face Jose Altuve and Carlos Correa.
Here's one into left center field off the bat of Correa. Altuve and Correa go back to back. And it's 5-3 here in the 10th inning with Houston on top.
But in the 10th, the Astros' 5-3 lead disappeared when the Dodgers scored twice. The game wore on to the 11th.
To Springer. That's into right center field. Well hit. Won't be caught. It is gone for a home run. 2.
The Astros managed to win it 7-6 in the most exciting game in their history. The two teams traded wins in games 3 and 4. In game 5, it was Kershaw versus Keuchel again. Kershaw was spotted a 4-0 lead over Keuchel, and then 7-4, but the Astros came back to tie the game twice. The game went to the 10th. Alex Bregman came to the plate.
2 on, 2 out, 10th inning. That's in the air to left. Here comes Fisher. Throw by Ethier. Astros win it in 10.
Bregman's game-winning hit gave the Astros a thrilling win. In fact, one of the most exciting World Series wins ever, as the Astros won it 13-12 in 10 innings. And now people are already asking about 2018. What will the Astros do in the coming season? That's been the speculation. The New York Yankees were the last World Series winner to repeat. In fact, they won 3 of 4 World Series. They won series titles in 1998, 99, and 2000. The big question now regards whether the Astros can join that select club. Sports Illustrated has picked the Astros to repeat next year. That was the kiss of death before this year, and now it might resonate in some home entertainment rooms. That's our Houston Astros retrospective for 2017. I'm Bill Brown. The preceding program was a production of Sight Into Sound Radio.
Here's a ground ball right side, could do it. The Houston Astros are world champions for the first time in franchise history.